Greetings, flesh wound horror freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Horror. I'm Flesh Wound Dan, joined by the Predator Todd.
What's up? Apparently, this is what Dan was doing before the show.
There you go. Slow your words. Hold on. I get it. I'm only drinking NOS, nothing else. Pugs Dread.
Easy. What's up? As you can see, I'm still having technical issues, so bear with us. Hope you can hear me well enough, but if not, I don't bring a lot to the table anyway, so big fucking deal.
you sound just as good to me, so I think you're good.
All right.
So tonight we got a lot of reviews, so we're going to just get right into it. We'll kick it off with our first film of the evening, which is brand new from director Rich Ragsdale, and it is Long Night. And in this film, a devoted couple's quiet weekend takes a bizarre turn when a nightmarish cult and their maniacal leader come to fulfill an apocalyptic prophecy. All right, so Long Night. All right, well, I'll start with the good. Number one, Scout Taylor Compton, who plays Grace Covington. She's done a lot of work in the horror genre since Rob Zombie's Halloween. And, you know, say what you will, whether you love those films or hate them. That's a intimidating spot to take over for Jamie Lee Curtis. I mean, that's, you know, you're kind of in a rough spot no matter what. But she certainly cultivated her fans, and she's good in this. She's actually pretty good. I can't say I've watched her in a lot of particularly great stuff since Halloween. She has done a lot of horror films, but she is a very solid lead, and you know, there's no Bruce Willis trickery going on here. She is in the entire film, so that's a plus.
Still hating on Bruce Willis.
Not hating on Bruce Willis. That's the Bruce Willis mode now.
If you didn't listen to it, check out yesterday's Oscar show with special Razzie stuff too.
Yes. You do not want to miss that show. So first off with this movie, it's very well made. It doesn't feel low budget. The cinematography is actually amazing. There's some great tracking shots. The beginning is actually, it's set up really, really well. A lot of mood, a lot of atmosphere. And I also, the cast, Jeff Fahey has a small role as Wayne. One of the more underrated actors. I've always put Fahey over. I kind of figured he'd have a much bigger career than he actually ended up having, but he's really good, not in it very long. We also get Deborah Kara Unger, fantastic as well in a small role. The problem with this one is it really fizzles out. This movie kind of feels like minor league A24. Like it feels like the setup, it's like you feel like you're going to get like a really excellent A24 style movie, and then it just kind of fizzles out.
All you had to do to make it an A24 film was stop at 5 minutes before the end, go to black, done.
Maybe a little longer, but
then
yeah.
then you would be balls deep on it.
Unfortunately, it is not A24. This movie doesn't do anything though particularly bad. There wasn't much left. There's no story left. It has a really good setup. I'm engaged. I want to see what's going to happen, but then nothing much goes down. It reminded me of, do you guys remember Jackals, where the cult was like surrounding the house?
Is that the Fright Night ripoff one?
No. Jackals was Jonathan Sketch was in it, and they were like, it was like a cult story. That was a better movie.
You brought that up when we saw the trailer. I said,
yeah. Yeah, Jackals, I would definitely check out, Pugs. I think you'd like it a lot. This just, I don't know, like you get deeper into the story and it just feels like nothing particularly compelling happened. There's good music. Like I said, it's very, very, very well shot. But there's just no, I don't know, it just fizzles out. And I was disappointed. I actually thought I was in for a great horror film, but maybe you guys got something more out of it. What did you think, Pugs?
Well, for me, I think I like it more than you do, but it does definitely like it goes nowhere. The ending is not satisfactory, and that's a big problem. However, like the first act, second act, fucking hard. You got the House of Black attacking these people that are not even in their own fucking house. So, Todd, I already know you don't like it. I actually like the how they look and stuff. It's just their motivation was kind of lame. And but I had fun. And Scout Taylor Compton, I think this is the best she's ever done. She was awesome. Like, it's cool to see her like age appropriately and, you know, actually have fucking talent. So that was cool. The male lead, he was good. I think he was like on Arrow and a couple other shows. So no one like annoyed me. It's just, unfortunately, the story didn't play out as grandiose or as cool as it should have with that, with those awesome looking cult figures. So yeah, it's fine. I think based on the visuals alone, I'd watch it at least one time.
It's not a fun, I mean, there's not a whole lot in the way of humor, but it did make me laugh when Jack, the boyfriend, looks out the door and he's like, "Your fucking hats look stupid." Just cracked me up. Then the light shining from down below, I thought that was it had moments, like I said, where I really thought like this was going to be something, and I didn't hate it. Again, I didn't hate it. It's much better made than a lot of, you know, direct to VOD cult flicks. But what do you think, Todd?
Yeah, you could have a better made piece of shit and it still ends up being a piece of shit. Yeah, there's some cool imagery, but there's not enough to make it worth the ride, in my opinion. It's a skip for me, and I kind of knew that going in, but I was like, yeah, could be good, but yeah, it missed for me.
Why did you think going in? What impression?
You were too excited about it.
I don't think it was over. I mean, it looked good. It's not all bad.
Not a Malachi Black fan. That's what it is.
Malachi Black.
Or his other stupid name.
Aleister Black. Fuck, took me a second. Tommy End, whatever.
I am going to defend one thing you said, though, Pugs. I know it's a divisive movie, but Halloween 2, I think Scout Taylor Compton.
See? God damn it.
I thought she was really good in that movie. I get why not a lot.
She was the only part of the movie I liked was her. I wanted to hear the story about her psychologically dealing with that. I didn't want even Michael Myers in that second movie.
Actually,
you telling me you guys don't like fucking the White Horse? Come on. No, that will be discussed later this year. So.
Well, we have to bring Chris on for that because he's balls deep on that movie.
That's a teaser for later this year, guys. But if Chris is on that show, ooh, that's gonna be interesting.
Halloween 2 versus Halloween Kills coming soon. What's Dan gonna do? Gotta watch to find out.
I know where I stand.
Yeah,
keep your poker face, Dan.
I'll do my. That's a tough one to do that on, but I will. I feel like this is one some of you are going to get more out of it than others, but let's go ahead and rate it. What say you, Pugs?
I am a 2.5 out of 5, mostly for imagery. So.
Okay. Todd?
I'm going to be nice because of, same reason, but I'm only a 2.
I'm a 2.5. I wish I could go a little higher because it is much better made than normal, but it doesn't have any rewatch for me. Like, I don't see myself going back to check this out again unless it was for some show purposes for some reason. If you're a Scout fan, I'd say you still may want to check it out, though.
If you're a fan of hers, by all means, support your favorite artist and shit.
Yeah, it has its moments for sure.
When they were in, like, the what was that one Anchor Bay put out she was in? Weren't they in, like, a sauna or something? Right after Halloween.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about too. Because I think I bought it on DVD and I got pissed because I realized
there was a Blu-ray.
Yeah, there were other notable stars. Val Kilmer was in it, right?
I can't tell you that part. I'm looking it up right now so people know what I'm talking about.
There you go. Yeah, like I said, she did quite a few horror movies, but she just.
Yeah, she was in that Flight 7500, which was a better one.
Oh. Wasn't Fred Durst in that, or he directed that?
I don't think.
Either way, it doesn't matter. Oh, shout out to Piz, your chainsaw shirt with the Limp Bizkit lyrics. Fantastic.
That was awesome.
Well, all right. We want to move on to our next one.
Absolutely. All right. So our next one is a Shudder original, just debuted on there. And it is Slap Face from, from writer-director Jeremiah Kipp. And in this one, a boy deals with the loss of his mother by creating a dangerous relationship with a monster rumored to live in the woods. All right, so, Pugs, what did you think of Slap Face?
Well, as an only child, I cannot relate to having a brother, but I have close friends that I feel like are brothers, and I would never play that stupid game with any of them. I do like this movie. There's some cool imagery here as well. This one has a little more story and a little more to give at the end, but I still don't love it. I wanted to love it really bad, and I have questions because I was interested. It had me, but overall, I'd say lower your expectations just a tad for me. But yeah, oh, I will say that the main lead, the little boy, fucking fantastic. Although you need to get your priorities straight, and you know what? I'm just gonna leave that there. He's awesome. Bad judgment and a little heartbreaking. So, yeah, I did like it. Don't love it. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, this one, it's weird. It's another one where you're watching it and you realize this movie has the potential to be great, and it doesn't quite get there. I was very engaged. I thought the relationship with the brothers was very touching. I actually felt like, since there are, like, sympathetic moments with the monster, it might have helped to see the face more, because it isn't just like some mindless creature, you know what I mean? Like, I really kind of wanted that sort of Frankenstein's monster sort of connection with it, and I kind of think that blunted some of that early tenderness, if that makes any sense. Not getting a closer look at the facial features, the eyes, which are, of course, with Karloff, was so important in that iconic role. But there's a lot to like here. It kind of reminded me at times almost to like Antlers. It's probably a pretty good double with that movie, you know, small town and coping with a little different situation, obviously, but coping with loss of a parent like that, or but I don't know. I wanted this one to really wreck me and break my heart a little bit more than it actually did. The whole slap face comment was kind of interesting. I had no idea what you know, what exactly to expect from that title. It does go hard. Like, the finale does go pretty hard. I can imagine if Kruger were on, he might have wanted a little more carnage, but still, it was like, oh,
he
wow.
never wants more carnage.
Well,
gore, sir. Gore.
Okay, what about gore?
More gore. There is some, there are some very suspenseful moments. One scene in particular, just where the witch is behind a certain character, where, like I said, I was engaged from beginning to end. I did really like this movie. It's just, it didn't quite hit that home run like I wanted. I enjoyed it. I will probably pick up the Blu-ray if this is one of the Shudder films that's lucky enough to get one. But it stops just short of being great. We do get a small role from Dan Hedaya as the sheriff. They're always very nice seeing
also
him.
Also, Alicia Silverstone's father. In Clueless.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's God. True.
And she still hasn't hit me back up, so I might be on that fuck that bitch train soon.
Dan Hedaya, I think, has played a lot of people's dads. Dan Hedaya has been on a lot of stuff.
I always think of Nick Tortelli from Cheers.
Oh, there you go.
First thing I think of when I see him.
Alien Resurrection? There's in that a lot of different stuff. Where were you at on this one, Todd?
Well, I would have much rather been watching Antlers. I felt like,
oh really?
Yeah, I was like, it's we're doing the same thing, not as well. I did like the kid. Yeah, this one just didn't. For the reasons you mentioned, Dan, I think you just kind of. Without the payoff, I couldn't forgive as much as you. I'll go with that.
Yeah,
I didn't like the payoff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it. Yeah. And like, I can't overlook that on this one because I went through this ride and that's what we got. That's why it's.
It didn't feel definitive to you? Because, I mean, this isn't, like, it ambiguous
have,
or anything.
It doesn't, no, it doesn't I, have so,
it can't be ambiguous. We can talk about it in spoilers if you want, but I don't think it was the right move for me to like the movie as much as I could have.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. I really do wish we had more of a look, you know, some of that monster boy bond, like, just to get something from that character. I mean, they kind of try. There's a couple moments where you can sort of make out some emotion, but yeah, I don't know. It just kind of misses, but I still enjoyed it. I think it's worth watching. In fact, I could even see this being on some best of lists. It's one of those movies. But not quite for me. There you go. Well, yeah, I don't think you need the aid of alcohol to appreciate it.
No, I'm saying you're drunk.
So to make the list, yeah.
I probably would make some lists. There were some worst of movies in the last couple of years that I saw in some people's best ofs. You know, you never know. And people really do like small town horror flicks. Those are very popular. All right, well, let's go ahead and rate it. Like I said, I enjoyed this one a lot. I think it's well worth your time. It just doesn't hit the home run, but I give it a 3.5. I liked it a lot.
Right on. I was going back and forth between a 3 and a 3.5. I think 3 is fair, so I'm gonna go round down and give it a 3 out of 5.
All right.
I'm a 2.5. It's in the middle for me. It could have been higher, but that ending, I just
should have lost higher. Me.
That's yeah. All good. It's all good. All right. So, moving on to our next film, which is Bite Me, from director Meredith Edwards and writer Naomi McDougall Jones.
McDougall!
Yes, who also stars in the film as Sarah. And, in fact, yeah. All right, so this one. When Sarah, a real-life vampire, gets audited, the last thing she expects is a date. But an unlikely spark with IRS agent James forces two misfits to confront whether they have the courage to commit the radical act of falling in love. All right, so this is a vampire film. They're not supernatural vampires. I'm going to get this right off the bat. Like, you know, we don't always know a whole lot about movies going in. We just, you know, certain things we just watch. We're, you know, obligated to review or what have you. This is not a horror movie.
Obligated is pretty strong, Dan.
This is bullshit, so we're going to talk about it now.
We have to check some stuff out.
You're not necessarily obligated, though, dude.
No, you're not obligated, but yeah, something comes across the
flesh. We're obligated to our listeners. We're obligated to our listeners to let them know whether or not they should. See, I saved you, Dan.
But this is a film that
he was obligated to watch.
He still had the same
place. I had no problem watching it. But
well, right, before we start in on it, I want to thank both of you gentlemen because you guys saw it before I did and you guys said, don't do it. So I didn't do it. Proceed.
Well, no, I mean, I don't want to. It's not a horror film. There's zero. In fact, there's zero horror. If you have any inkling of, oh, well, okay, it's like a funny vampire movie. No, it is a romantic comedy. In fact, the whole vampire angle is even debatable whether you would consider them vampires because that's, you know, are these just people that
are they energy vampires?
Unfortunately, no.
No.
It's so much better.
Just
Colin Robinson.
Characters that at least believe that they need to drink blood, not forcefully or anything. Like I said, there's not a stitch of horror in here. But I'm going to just review it as a movie. It is a romantic comedy. It's not terrible. One plus, I will say, for American Horror Story fans, Naomi Grossman plays kind of the best friend character of Sarah. She has some amusing moments. She's actually pretty funny in this. It's all very light stuff, other than some some sexual stuff. It's pretty close to something that you could see on Lifetime. I like Naomi Grossman though a lot, and that might be a reason for you guys to watch it. It's definitely more Pretty Woman than Interview with the Vampire though.
Now you're gonna make Pugs pissed he didn't watch it.
Yeah, hold the phone. I love Pretty Woman. You can check out our commentary on our old on Patreon. Is it on Patreon or is it free now?
It will be eventually.
It will be.
All right, get it while you can. Carry arms.
insert anything with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, basically. And I mean, not even saying it's necessarily that good. Obviously, I'm not the target audience for this movie, but I don't know if it really, in terms of vampire lore, if it does anything that I haven't seen before.
I have a question. Since Valentine's Day is coming up, will this movie get your dick sucked? Is this a good movie to be blown to? You can answer that question.
Question is always yes. It's the best one.
You could probably have more.
That's a five.
you could have more sure thing options, probably. But
yeah, it's not going to get you that Notebook ass. So
okay,
no. I like the lead actress. She's not like the typical who again also the writer Naomi McDougal Jones. She's not like your typical leading lady for this type of romantic comedy. And you know, both actors very likable. The finale was a little bit, I guess, underwhelming, but. It's a romantic comedy. You know where everything's going, and it is what it is. Boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back. But you can't really spoil this.
Spoilers, Dan. Come on.
Oh, fuck it. You can't spoil this sort of shit. It's perfectly enjoyable. Just, again, know what you're getting into. Todd, did you enjoy your bonbons and nail painting while you watched this movie?
I did not.
Did you start menstruating?
I think a little.
Okay.
But yeah, I what Dan said is correct. It's not a horror film. I don't know. You may have a difficult time getting your significant other to watch it, but it's a one-time watch for me. I mean, yeah. I say check it out at least. As long as you go in knowing it's not horror and... I think it's just a more romantic movie than a romantic comedy. It's humorous, but it's kind of in the middle. It's a little more dramedy, I think.
Yeah. I actually would have been really intrigued to have Naomi Grossman in the lead because I think she's really good and I'd like to see her in more featured roles.
Well, then she should write her own goddamn movie.
I actually have watched some of her theater where I have a couple DVDs of some of her plays. She's really entertaining. But yeah, I mean, this is just
vagina monologue,
harmless fluff. I can't really say much more about it. If you know what you're getting into, it's fine. But zero vampire elements that you haven't seen before. And it's a bloodless, horrorless movie.
Krueger would hate this movie.
Krueger would have, I think, package pile drove in each one of us just for having had to watch it. I actually want to, well, no, it's not going to work. I was going to say lie to him and say it's really awesome as like a prank, but he's.
Yeah, that'll get you hurt.
He's so you like playing Russian roulette, right on.
But he might like to watch it with his girl.
I think then you're getting stuck while you're getting package pile drove. I think they're both going to get you for that.
I think she has better taste than that to watch that with Krueger or better knowledge.
Well, anyways, we'll have them on. We'll do a they'll do a couples review. Why not? There you go.
Don't start that, Trent. Okay, Dan. What you got? Never mind.
That almost might have happened one day, but anyways, all right. Let's go ahead. Let's plan this. Well, no. What am I talking about?
Let's plan it.
Let's plan it. Let's make it happen.
How about you read it?
Valentine's review. They got. They can do their own Kruger's Corner. I'm pitching it.
I'm gonna tell you. You're gonna get hurt.
Maybe he'll love it. Maybe he'll give it a 5. Why are you? You think you?
How much money are you willing to bet that? Bet on that.
Okay. He's gonna bet whatever his rating is.
Let's go ahead and rate it. No. Look, 2.5. Honestly, it's fine. It's not gonna blow your mind, even if you like these kind of movies. But I enjoyed the lead. She was unique. I enjoyed Naomi Grossman. It was fine for a couple chuckles. If I had a date, you know, I'll forget all about this movie a week from now. But you know, hey, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
What say you?
One time watch if you're not a. As long as you got to know it's not a horror, and I'm actually exactly with you, Dan. I'm a 2.5.
All right, sweet, sweet. Moving on to our next film, which is actually I'm kind of excited to talk about this one because if you go back in the Flesh Wound archives, we've had Renee Perez on the show a couple times. This is not a Renee Perez film, but he. Was kind of known for Death Kiss, which features Robert Bronzy, the star of this film, the Charles Bronson lookalike.
He introduced us to the Robert Bronzy.
Yes, yes.
Like not like literally, but like in the world of
Yeah, we have to have Renee back on sometime. I like Renee.
He's working on stuff right now, so maybe we can get him on when he's done.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say he's always working, and it was a good time. No. So this is not a film from Renee, but it does star Robert Bronzy, and it is called Exorcist Vengeance from co-directors Scott Jeffrey and Rebecca Matthews. And in this, a tough priest with a troubled past is called out to root out a murderous demon from a household of suspects. All right, so kind of Exorcist meets a Knives Out style whodunit. Set up kind of cool, actually. I thought that was an intriguing premise. So The Good First, this is another one. I've watched a few films from these directors. Very, very low budget movie, but well made, well shot. The lighting, the locations, definitely elevated among similar films that at this point are made for next to nothing. So I was impressed with that. It's very slow moving. Let's be honest, any kind of Exorcist movie, you really got to do something different at this point, because goddamn, if we watched a lot of Exorcist ripoffs, does this do anything new? No.
Could have.
Yeah, it doesn't. Mm-hmm.
The opening.
Yeah, the opening was cool. Robert Bronzy, I believe, in this one was not actually dubbed.
No, he has a couple he's not dubbed in.
Yeah. Initially, I know he was dubbed on some of the early stuff we saw.
Well, it made sense when he was supposed to sound like Bronson, I guess.
And it may make sense why he was dubbed at times in this movie, but it was kind of cool hearing him in his normal voice. It's always surreal. Like I've watched at least I think 3 or 4 Bronzy movies at this point. It is, man, is it wild every time you're sitting there watching. It's like sometimes you forget and you just think you're watching Charles Bronson, and that is a good thing. I love the idea of him just remaking every Charles Bronson movie. I want to see Kinjite, the Forbidden Subjects. I want to see.
Well, yeah. That's Todd's favorite Bronson movie, or one of them.
Oh my God. Like, go down the list of Bronson stuff. I can't imagine there's not going to be a Death Kiss sequel. We have to ask Renee if that's.
Well, I do want to tell you what he has up next. Prepare for Dan to mark out. It's called Mat Rats. This is the description. Down in his luck, pro wrestling promoter Jimmy drives an ice cream truck by day and watches life pass him by at night till he sees a chance to coach a diverse group of street kids to amateur wrestling glory and win the girl of his dreams.
Hey,
I'm in.
Yeah. You get Kruger in there. He's a little bit older than that, but that's, you know, hey.
We will have an amateur wrestling expert whenever we cover that.
There you go. There you go. That sounds awesome. Needless to say, that's a first share review. So, yeah, I like Bronzy a lot. There's not a whole lot to recommend this movie, unfortunately. I did enjoy him a lot more in Death Kiss, Renee's film. The Western that's names escaping me at the moment. Bronzy is good in this. He has his moments. This is just such familiar stuff. It does nothing at all. It is just by the numbers.
It's a missed opportunity. Yeah. It's such.
Yeah, it really is. And I like the kind of the basic whodunit idea, but it doesn't offer anything particularly compelling. I mean, it's well acted. I don't really have any major complaints. It at least tries to do some practical stuff with its limited effects. I mean, it's not a big effects movie or gore movie by any means, but man, I don't know if you haven't watched as many horror films or something, maybe you might enjoy it a little bit more, but didn't work.
This is more if you want to watch Bronzy, I guess. My thing was, I was expecting, I just wanted to go and like smoke possess people. I thought he was going to go. Right?
Actual action movie. Yeah. I'll be honest. The opening of the movie, I was like, oh fuck, we're going to get like the movie Priest, but down to earth, maybe like a like street level, not too bombastic and, you know, crazy. And then after that, it just hurt my feelings because I got so excited. Right? I mean, like, the movie's fine, but like my excitement for, holy shit, he's going to go hunt down these possessed people. And if he doesn't, you know, unpossess them, fuck them, boom. Like, this is what I want. And this can still be done. So please, Bronzy. Renee, get together and make the movie I want in my head.
Death Kiss 2, have him fight a supernatural street gang. There you go.
Yes, dude.
Hit me up,
Renee. Mix it in with some Cobra with some actual fucking demons. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, unfortunately, like, I want to like this one more than I do, but that opening scene was awesome, and then I was just let down the rest of the time, so... Mm-hmm. Too bad.
He does get, you do get, at least get to see Bronzy in a different light. He gets to, you know, try and flex his acting muscles a little bit more, I guess. It's not something I've seen him in before. He actually has had like two or three movies come out, just The Gardener, Escape on Death Block, something or other.
13.
There you go. Yeah.
I haven't picked those up yet. That's all awesome. I'm glad, but like, that's your lane, bro. Fucking, I wanted you to kick some demon ass, the Charles Bronson style, and I didn't get that. So,
yeah, no, unfortunately not. But there's nothing particularly awful about this movie either. Bad movie. So if you're
just let down.
Yeah, if you're into Bronzy, you might enjoy it well enough. All right, well, let's go ahead and rate it. I'm a 2. I can't go much higher than that, unfortunately, but it has its moments. And Bronzy's still awesome. Expendables. Guys, this makes sense. You need to bring in Bronzy. You know,
do you make him like a clone or something?
just bring him in there. Just bring him in there. He says he's not literally playing a Charles Bronson character, but
should be.
You just have him on screen. Hey, it's as close as you're going to get. It's awesome.
I'm into that. Make him the next big bad.
As long as they don't have Chuck Norris like try to beat him up, I'm fine.
Chuck Norris is already in the Expendables, sir.
I know that. That's what I'm saying. So if Bronzy comes in and smokes him,
he's going to smoke fat Steven Seagal. You're going to have like an evil Steven Seagal eating a sandwich, and he's just going to shoot it out of his hand. It'll be awesome.
Unfortunately, this is really just fantasy booking because they're going in a new direction with the next one. So really? You'd be better off with the straight to video Expendables.
I haven't heard an update.
Is it more of Satan's pet, the goat? Dan, that's your boy.
I don't want to see. I don't want to see new actor. I mean, I don't want to see like so-called modern action stars in it. I'd really want them to, you know.
Well, that's not what they're going to do. And honestly, the old action stars are too old for it now. when they did it, like what was it, 10 plus years ago? Mm-hmm. All right, when Stallone's like, I'm done. So
I will still rather see fat Steven Seagal and his much younger stunt double throw somebody through a glass window than Kalen Lutz or whoever.
Well, that guy can't act for dick though. So that's not fair.
We're talking about Van Damme can't act for dick. What?
Van Damme's still awesome.
I actually say Van Damme's a better actor than what was that kid's name you just said?
Kalen Lutz. I'm trying to even fucking remember.
I was rooting for him so fucking hard because I was like, oh, you got the look, you can do it. And then he just fucking flat as a board. Like, oh, dude.
Yeah, there's nothing there. But anyways, I'm a 2. What say you guys?
I am also a 2 out of 5.
Okay.
I'm a little higher. I'm 2.5.
All right.
No, that's pretty good. Like, I've been around that level all day. We got to see if that breaks on the next one.
We'll see. But now, Todd, had the movie continued the path of the opening scene? This 5. Could have easily been 4 to 5 territory. Yeah. Okay.
I was excited when that. I was like, "Fuck yeah!"
Me too.
I think that's what I might have messaged you. Yeah, try to get that one in.
Cool.
What other? If you could have a doppelganger of a former action, like who do we need in modern day? Like John Wayne, Clint Eastwood. I mean, go from any era though. Like
who Eastwood's still Clint here, dude.
I know.
Eastwood's well Watch. Past his point.
You just fucked him, and he's gonna be in the memoriam.
No, it's not even that. Dan literally just bitched about, or like was like, no, they should still do these old action stars. Clint Eastwood's still doing it.
He's pushing the triple digits. He's not an action star anymore.
He still got down in Mule, or was Mule? What was the last one he did? I didn't really like it that much.
Was it Mule? Cry Macho.
Cry Macho. There you go. Mule was good. Cry Macho was kind of whack.
Cry Macho wasn't a very good movie. He looks like the Crypt Keeper now. I mean, he's... Yeah.
And you know what? He'll still beat your ass, Dan.
Yeah,
I will.
Or he'll get his son to fuck you up.
Well, his son.
His son's his good.
I open challenge. I think I could take Clint a 95-year-old Clint Eastwood.
I think you're still gonna have a problem.
WrestleMania 38 coming up. Hat on a pole match.
Dude, first. Okay. Boom. He's got old man strength, dude. He survived some shit. Don't ever underestimate that. They got nothing to lose.
I don't know, hand-to-hand combat I think I could take.
Those bony knuckles across your face, you're fucked.
Clint's been through some shit, dude. I would put my money on him. I'd love you to death,
Speaking of
Dan,
getting fucked, Dan, what's our next movie?
All right, our next movie. Obviously,
I got my finger on the button, so.
Obviously, the main event of the evening, which is The Scary of 61st from writer-director Dasha Nekrasova. And in this film, Noelle and Addie have just moved into a beautiful, though impossibly cheap apartment on Manhattan's prestigious Upper East Side. Not long after their arrival, Addie's behavior drastically changes as she begins to sleepwalk and speak in a strange child's voice, much to the horror of her boyfriend Greg. Noelle, meanwhile, becomes intrigued by a mysterious young woman who inexplicably shows up at their apartment and reveals she believes the apartment was previously owned by the infamous Jeffrey Epstein. Determined to uncover the truth, Noelle joins the woman in her search, a journey which takes them deeper into the illicit and occult world of terrifying globalist conspiracies where violence lurks at every turn. All right. Well, being that you were cheering during the synopsis, I will tag you in first.
Did I get too excited and not even show the poster? I think I did, huh?
Let's do it right now.
There you go. You can actually buy the poster art on Vinegar Syndrome, I believe, still.
Yeah, well, nice. They had that foil poster. I think that's long sold out.
Oh, all right.
They may have a non-foil window.
Yeah. Also, they have like the framing of Eyes Wide Shut, so I'm already in. But you guys are talking the actual posters.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now, and I don't see it right now.
It could be gone. Yeah. But anyways, Pugs, what did you think of the movie?
Oh, no, it's still there. Limited edition print, $45. Pugs, you may need it on your wall.
There's a good chance. So for me, man, I was looking forward to this. And it delivered pretty much what I wanted. Maybe a little less, but this is made fantastically. And I was so interested. And it could just be like I'm interested in Epstein's crimes to begin with. There's no way to go around it. There's a certain line in this movie won me over so fucking hard. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it.
I already gave you the okay.
Okay, cool. If you're looking for this movie for a certain reason, this line alone should do it. So get your button ready, Todd. These two people are getting down, and I hear "fuck me like a." I laugh my fucking ass off. And then what happens after that? Understandable, dude, but you kind of pissed out. I don't even know how you can continue that. Anyway, that scene alone, by all means, this is definitely worth a one-time watch at least. But for me, I will probably revisit it a few times because the horror is there. The uneasy is there. There's some Polanski, like, style shit going on. And, like, it's very well made and... It's just, it gets a creepy vibe. And I really like that on top of some of the inappropriate stuff that I find humorous. And some of our viewers, I'm pretty sure, are like-minded and you get a kick out of that shit too. Yeah, I definitely like this movie. I will quote this movie till the day I die. What about you, Dan?
I thought you were going to go with the self-pleasure to photos of Prince Andrew, which was...
I didn't want to give that away, but that was amazing, too.
When you heard that line, did you not know that was going to be our favorite, Dan?
No, I figured that was going to make it for you.
How hard did you laugh?
When the photos of Prince Andrew, yeah, that was pretty
That
funny.
Was your... Okay.
But, all right, so... yeah, very similar mood to Polanski's Apartment trilogy. It's the Sentinel, very odd vibes to this going in. Kind of looks somewhat like a 70s movie at times. There's a lot of tonal shifts in this one. It's kind of hard to nail down. I mean, if you're looking for scary, I don't think it's a scary, like, haunting type film.
That's not the scary aspect of it, though.
Yeah, uneasy, it's the other stuff. Creepy, kind of almost a satire on conspiracy theories. I don't want to give too much away, but the acting, I could see some people saying the acting is not very good, but I think it's more a deliberate style. This is another one where, you know, you have a lot of the actors also kind of made the movie. I know the boyfriend, I think, was a producer and what have you. I enjoyed it, but I didn't like this one. It doesn't quite live up to the premise for me because Epstein haunting type thing. I was like, okay, that could be really, really cool. And I kind of feel this one's going to miss with most people. It's a very niche movie.
Well, to be fair, we watched the trailer for the first time. Didn't they avoid the Epstein stuff? Because I remember even after we watched it, we made the point of you were the one who said it, Dan. Are you sure that that's like really what this is about? And it was Ben Grimm in our chat who said, no, it's what it's about. So if you would have went in thinking, just seeing the trailer and not knowing there was some Epstein stuff happening, I think it would have hit you different.
Maybe. I don't know.
It would have. It would have been like, holy shit, you got to watch this.
It's an interesting movie, but I don't think it's, great. Now it is.
That line is great.
It is obviously very kinky.
Trigger warning.
Uncomfortable. There's some
other language that they use there too that is a little frowned upon. It's a hard F for a community that does not. It's not cool to say, but when she said it, I chuckled. So 90s kid. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think most people are going to kind of just look at this one as more weirdo art house, and they're going to have some issues with it. I'm somewhere in between. I don't think it's a great movie, though. I think it was a little bit overhyped for me, to be honest. But I mean, where are you at with this one, Todd? I mean, did it slay it for you, or like, you know? I just thought it was a little bit overhyped.
The thumb sucking one me.
Fuck yeah,
man!
747.
Yeah, I did like this one for all the wrong reasons. As soon as I heard that line, I was like, okay. I wanted to text Bungie immediately, but I was like, yeah, because we saw each other this past Sunday, and like we were trying not to talk about it. I was like, you could say
we avoided it for maybe 10 minutes. And then I said the line.
Because I knew that was his favorite. But yeah, I did like it. I'll watch it again. I'll pick up the Vinegar Syndrome Blu-ray, 4K.
Blu-ray.
All right, so I definitely say it's worth the watch. Well, if you know our sense of humor, me and Pug specifically, what we enjoy,
it's not intentionally funny, but I think by all means, you can definitely get some humor out of it.
Do you think you could even do because again, I mean, really, when you go down the rabbit hole on the true story, I mean, it's pretty fucking scary. I mean,
wait, this wasn't the true story.
Well, to think that like you have all these people that are among the most powerful people on the entire planet, you know, it is disturbing. And, you know, going down that rabbit hole, do you think we could have a completely not watered down and Epstein movie made in Hollywood right now? I think it'd be
not
really
watered
hard.
Down. No, not at all.
Because that would be an illegal movie.
I feel like...
You have to water it down.
Well, no, but I mean, you can still...
Also, a lot of the people out there are into the same shit he is. So they'd be like, cock blocking that movie left and right.
It would definitely win an Academy Award.
I think there's a really compelling story to tell there with him. I mean, you can get around certain things, but I don't know, the movie I would
actually dive into that more. I'd have it off screen, of course. I'm not going to do a trouble being born type thing.
But look at Mysterious Skin. Very disturbing movie, but the way they shot it, you know, like you were able to make it in a respectful way. I mean, it's still uncomfortable as fuck if you've seen that.
I still need
movie.
To watch that. Apparently I need to watch it sooner than later. Now.
We should watch that. I haven't seen it in a while, so.
Mysterious Skin is rough.
Like, that's with
rough.
Fuck, what's rough?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Levitt thing. I was going to say Blake from Dark Knight Rises.
Michelle Trachtenberg's in it. Yeah. It's Billy Drago's even in a small role that will have you never looking at him the same way again. Rest in peace. But yeah, Mysterious Skin is a great film, but ooh, is it hard to watch? But anyways, yeah, I don't know. I just don't think this is the gem that some people are making it out to be.
I do.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I
definitely think it's worth. If you're interested in this case at all, and you've liked horror movies. This is definitely a press play on this motherfucker because it's unnerving. And if you like Roman Polanski, and I know some people like, yeah, you can't like Roman Polanski because
he's an Epstein himself, so it makes sense.
But I think he's a talented director. I do like most of his movies, probably all of them actually. But I forgot where I was going with it. But I don't listen to the hype though. If you can go in leveled, I think you might probably have a better time. Yeah, did you rate it already? Are we doing that yet?
You guys good? You want to rate it? All right. Go ahead, Bugs.
Dango.
I'm a 3. It's interesting. It's not a great film, though. It really isn't. And I don't know. I I'm curious to hear everybody's reviews. If you saw this, please weigh in. I really would like to hear what you think. But
well, what I'm doing is I've been doing, I'm rating my enjoyment factor. For my enjoyment factor, I'm a 4. I had a lot of fun with it. I agree with Dan. Is it a 4 movie? Eh, maybe not. Maybe it is. But yeah, so I'm a 4.
See, if it didn't have those two lines that I liked, or the one line I said here, I would be a 4 as well. However, it does have that line, so I'm going 4.5. And with a highly recommend, check it out. And I don't even think I gave props to the lead actor, like the lead, just every actor in there. They do a great job. So.
Yeah, I don't think that it... I could see some people saying it's bad acting. It's a little dry at times, but
no, I think it's
intentional. It's what they were going for, I think. But
it felt real to me up until certain parts, but I'm definitely rewatching this a few times, and I'm going to show it around.
You know what's really fascinating about this? If you go, and I just noticed this, if you go to the IMDb page where there's photos, there's a photo of Alex Jones with the cast, I believe, which I kind of want to hear what that's all about. Because did he go to a screening?
I know I already mentioned Eyes Wide Shut here, but there's also a direct reference, and that popped me fucking hard. So love that movie.
Not the only thing.
How awesome would it be to do a conspiracy movie with like a small role from Alex Jones, just as like the crazy like Yoda type?
Maybe. Maybe
just
he was
not hard at all.
Maybe he was the
frogs are making us gay. I just want that line in there. So
have Rogan produce it.
Boom, there you go.
Maybe he was there to make sure everything was accurate.
Yeah. I've seen the documents.
Because I see the picture now too.
No, I want to see more. And I want to know what's going on. Probably this is not an endorsement. I know he's insane, but probably one of the funniest people on the planet.
Todd, you said you have it on screen. Can you share it real quick? Okay. <That's what I'm laughs>
That is awesome.
Yep, there you go.
Oh, that's so cool. Anyways, but I with this one especially, I think out of all the films tonight, please weigh in. Love to hear your guys' thoughts on it. Get your $45 pugs to get that
after Ghislaine Maxwell, who slight spoiler might make a cameo. That was fucking rad.
Well,
listed as well. We'll just let it go.
I dig it.
Yeah. Do we have any spoilers tonight?
There was a thing like if you want to talk about something, but it's neither here nor there now. We're talking about the scary of 61st. Far, movie of the year for me.
Oh, The Wasteland for me. Although you haven't watched that, have you? Or no, you did watch The Wasteland.
Did I? I don't think I did.
I don't think we did.
Oh, okay. No? Yeah. No, you didn't. No.
Yeah, oh, no, I did. Yeah, the Spanish movie.
You did. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, movie of the year for me so far.
F me like a whatever number.
I don't know. I don't.
That's way better.
I'm curious to see where you fall on that at the end of the year. But anyways, anything else, guys?
Make sure you check out our Oscar show.
Check out the Oscar announcement show. From yesterday, great show, and obviously you'll be in March. I don't know the exact date off the top of my head, but in March we will have our big Oscar show. That's
more
a
than likely
one.
We're going to have one. Two.
Yeah,
one where we do our picks and winners right now because all. Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do our show and then we're going to do the watch along.
Yes, show and watch along, so it'll be Oscars week, whatever.
Speaking of it's always fun watching with us, because, you know, we're assholes at times.
More fun than the actual ceremony, so you will want to come and hang out with us.
Next week, though, that's the week I'm waiting for, the 18th. So we got Chainsaw. Maybe we're just having a Chainsaw weekend. I don't know, cuz we're excited for it. So
yeah, so tune in. Don't miss it, guys. And have a good one.
Mr. Todd. Right.
Good evening.
All right. And F me like a, I'll see you in Disneyland.